welcome back. It's a Monday morning. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
It is 12 degrees right now.
Yeah.
It's going to get up to 30 today.
Okay.
But we just have to get through today to get to the nicest stretch of weather we will have had since, like, October.
Kimmy and I were just looking at it.
Tomorrow, high of 42. Wednesday, high of 47.
Come on.
By the weekends, we are into the low 50s. By the end of the weekend, we are into the 70s.
Whoa.
And we will not, as far as a high, go below 55 degrees after Friday until the middle of next week.
All right, so maybe we're past it now.
Okay, don't do that because it's fake spring.
But just get me out of the lake. You're going to die if you go outside.
We will have one more brutal cold. When that happens, I do not know. But do not do this, because every year we come back in on that really cold day. Oh, this never happens. I never heard of this happening ever once in the history of Rochester. Ever, ever, ever. You guys been watching the NFL Combine, Scouting Combine?
Oh, yeah. It's the only thing that's on TV right now.
Well, I figured young, tight, muscular men in shorts. Tight shorts.
So it's the Combine?
The Combine, yep. You know, where all the NFL.
Rookies?
Yeah, they get together. They test all these rookies out. They run 40-yard dashes and jump high and do shuttle runs and stuff like that. Are you familiar with a man named Diego Pavia?
Diego who?
Diego Pavia.
I think he's one of the shows I'm watching on Netflix.
Kimmy, you know who this kid is.
He's a drug lord, right?
No.
Not really.
He is the quarterback for Vanderbilt, or was the quarterback for Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I was going to say, the name sounds familiar, but I couldn't remember why I knew him.
I just saw this.
Now that you tell me who he is, I know who he is.
Because Vanderbilt all of a sudden has a football team, which they never had.
They've always had a football team.
No, but I mean, good.
They're, well,
they can't compete where
they sit.
They've
had a couple big upsets in the past.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, you're surrounded by, like, Alabama.
Where they're, like, carrying down the
goalpost
down, what is it, Broadway?
Yes.
It's a smart school.
Yes, it is.
And that's saying a lot in the South.
They call it the Ivy League of the South.
They got all the books, Pat.
All right, so Diego Pavia, as you brought up, had some of the most success that any quarterback has ever had at Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And he is entering the NFL draft. He was at the Combine over the weekend. So for those who don't know, this kid, to say troubled would be too far. Like, he doesn't get in any off-the-field stuff, but he does a lot of stupid things.
Oh.
For example, he was a finalist for the Heisman, and when he didn't win the Heisman, he publicly trashed Heisman voters.
Oh.
He's one of these guys that's like, so he was asked in an interview reportedly over the weekend about his immaturity issues by one of the NFL teams, and he said that the average NFL or the average human being doesn't fully mature until 25, so he's got another 12 months before he has to get there.
Okay.
He's like that kind of guy.
All right.
So over the weekend, during a press conference,
what'd he do?
He was asked who he is talking to get him ready for this, you know, journey he's about to go on.
Yeah, the combine and all that.
And Diego Pavia said that he's been mentored by Johnny Manziel.
Oh, perfect.
Former Texas
A&M. Come on, that's got to be a joke.
No, he's dead ass serious.
That's a person who's mentoring people?
Quote, he's giving me what to look out for, what it's like, how to stay to the process. And, you know, he's giving me some good advice for sure. He always reaches out, checks up on me, makes sure I'm good. He's just like a friend to me, you know, and he's giving me some mentorship. He's been around me. He's been around my family. He's a great person for those that don't really know him.
So what would you get out of a Johnny Manziel mentorship?
I can see the situation being helpful in that, like, do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah,
however,
you wanna try that.
However, if you watch the Johnny Manziel documentary on Netflix, you would know that, like, I don't really think he's all that, like,
cleaned up.
Not cleaned up, but, like, he kind of thinks some of the stuff he did was cool and you shouldn't, you know?
Yep.
Like, I don't think he's completely, like, in a different state of mind where you could look back and be like, yeah, you know what? I could have done that completely differently.
He hasn't gotten all the way through to the other side.
Sure. Exactly.
And it's possible he does still have some issues with substance stuff based on some things that happened.
Johnny Manziel.
Over the last couple months.
He definitely seemed like he was still struggling a bit.
Which is fine. Yeah. I mean, you know, anyway,
but of all the people you could have grabbed.
Yeah. All right, so here's my question. The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263 if you want to jump in. Because as silly as it sounds, that this guy who may be having some, you know, attitude issues that are going to keep him from maybe playing in the NFL, you know, that he's going to reach out or Johnny Manziel will reach out to him and listen to him. Is it better to get advice from the person who does everything well, or is it better to get advice from the person who screwed everything up for themselves? 252-WCMF, 252-9263.
Well, I think it depends on that where that person is now when you're talking to them.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're still a disaster, what are you getting out of it? Or if they, to the point, like, they don't even see the problems that they did.
Okay, but the Johnny Manziel story is an obvious red flag. Don't
I don't need Johnny Manziel to tell it to me, though. I could just pick up the papers.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay. So, like, let's say you are the general manager of the Buffalo Bills. We're going to draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
Would finding out one of his mentors is Johnny Manziel, would that keep you from wanting him on your roster?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, seriously, if you want the guy to be a success, wouldn't you want a successful guy to teach you how to do this?
Well, but then again, like, okay, you talk about, like, there are some of the best players in sports ever that have gone on to become coaches. Magic Johnson coached the Lakers, did not go well. Wayne Gretzky coached the Arizona
Coyotes. Well, because those guys never had to work at it. They had a God-given talent.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, like, I think it was the same way with Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
He could just hit a goddamn baseball drunk, but he couldn't manage a team. Right.
So I guess your idea is, you know, you want the advice from the person that's been the best. Well, no, that advice may not work because they don't understand where you're at.
Well, you want a guy that, like, worked at it, like a Larry Bird, who constantly had to work at it.
Okay.
Because that guy, you know, he didn't have all the gifts.
And he was ugly.
Ugly as fuzz.
Like, you look at that man and you wonder how...
Yeah.
A bone structure ends up that way.
Well, that's Southern Indiana, man. Everything looks like that, even the dogs.
Kimmy?
Yeah.
Should you take advice from the successful, or should you take advice from the ones that screwed it up?
Knowing myself, I think I'd rather take advice from the person that's successful, only because if I talk to somebody who, like, screwed it up and was like, don't do this, I would continue doing what I'm doing and think, at least I'm not as bad as that guy.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
You know, I would be more motivated by the successful person personally, but I could see, like, maybe if you are going down a certain road and that could be your future, you would be more determined to change your path.
Okay. I wonder, like, would being around Johnny Manziel be like, would you be starstruck if Johnny Manziel walked in the room right now?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's got some stories.
I mean, he was, for a little bit, he was a household name.
But he also became, like, one of the most pathetic football players of all time. Like,
well, there's a reason why he's that famous, and it's not for football.
Well, no,
right?
But I guess what I'm getting at is, like, yes, he's got a Heisman Trophy. Yes, he had this massive success at Texas A&M. Yes, he was a first-round draft pick. Yes, we saw him on television, you know, courtside at every NBA game and out at bars and everything. But, like, the guy is now essentially one of us.
He's a shell.
Yes, because of all of the mistakes that he made, to Kimmy's point, if you watch that documentary, half of which he's still like, yeah, it was pretty cool, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting story.
But, like,
it's entertaining as hell.
If he walked into this door, I think I would be less excited he was here and more be like, oh, man, that's Johnny Manziel. You know what I mean?
I would still, yeah, that's Johnny Manziel, man. It's either him or Spezzano, who you want. And I like Scott, but, you know.
He never won a Heisman.
Not a partier.
252 WCMF, Diego Pavia, he was the quarterback at Vanderbilt last year. He is at the NFL Combine right now, and they were interviewing him. And the guy's had some issues in the past. We brought up the Heisman controversy. There was an alleged bar incident just before the Senior Bowl where he allegedly smashed a fan's iPhone before being photographed the night before he was supposed to go work out for NFL teams.
Oh.
There was an on-field confrontation following a loss to Alabama where he got in a heated argument with one of the fans in the stadium, and his brother was arrested for assaulting a police officer during a game at Vanderbilt.
Oh.
That doesn't have anything to do with him. That's his
brother.
No, but
still.
You know, it's funny, talking about, like, the starstruck, or is that person pathetic? Rudy is one of my favorite movies of all
time. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, what guy doesn't love Rudy? And I went to that National Sports Collectors Convention like a decade ago.
Yeah, and he was there, right?
He was there, and he was signing free autographs. And I just wanted to, like, get a look at Rudy.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, Rudy, I don't know if he did jail time. Could you Google this?
He did?
So he got caught up in a fraud scheme or perpetrated a fraud scheme where he had an energy drink that turns out wasn't what it was supposed to be.
Oh, like, sugar?
There was like, well, no, he was like taking people's money and like wasn't actually a product. Like right after that all happened, he had showed up and he did not look good. And like, I thought I was going to be starstruck standing next to Rudy because I could do that whole
thing. Well, now he's an old man.
But no, it was more like he just looked pathetic.
Oh, all right.
Like, you could tell, like, things are not as good now as they were, and I felt more sympathy, like, oh, man.
But now, we've had a few people come through here that were not big names, but you knew who they were.
Yeah.
And John Wayne Bobbitt was one of them, right? And I was still like, hey, God damn, that's John Wayne Bobbitt. I was still blown away that he was standing in the doorway, and the other one was Manute Bol, who was Was he the tallest guy in the NBA at one point?
Let's go with that.
Yeah. And he was obviously physically couldn't. He was a wreck. But I was still impressed that they were here.
Okay, so Manute Bol comes in.
Yeah. Right? I mean, that would just be a person that you're going to stare at because of their size alone.
Yeah, and he's in a wheelchair. I mean, he's in a bad way, but it was still like a guy that I saw in David Letterman.
So he's in a wheelchair. Keep that in mind. Now, he came in. He was here doing like a humanitarian thing in Rochester. Okay. Yeah. He wanted to talk about all the humanitarian stuff he was doing.
And we did.
Sure,
we did. We talked about all
that way.
And then after it was over, somebody who used to host this show made him get up out of his wheelchair so they could take a picture with the tall guy.
Yes. That did happen.
The look on that man's, because, and here's the thing, he was too gracious to say, no, I won't do
no,
it.
No, he's class act.
The look of pain on his face as both of you idiots are like, oh, man, look how tall he is.
But it was so funny.
Look at the difference.
Look how tall he is. And like,
he's a big dude.
Like,
man.
When he started, somebody in the room should have been like, no. But you guys were just like, oh.
Well, he had a handler there, and he didn't say nothing.
What is he going to, again, you just gave him this opportunity to talk about all the charity
work
he's doing.
I didn't know he was physically.
Oh, you thought that was a luxury wheelchair.
I just thought he was lazy. I don't know, man.
Man, God, it was so. Wow, look how tall he is. Look at the pain that man. Like,
he's
if you,
a big man.
If
I think I still got that picture.
Yeah, and you can see the obvious pain on his face from standing. Did Rudy go to jail?
So it says he avoided jail time.
Wow.
But he was required to pay $382,000 in fines.
Ooh. Yeah, all Rudy ain't got it, man.
Well, no, man. I mean, well, he wouldn't be running fraud schemes for energy drinks if he did have it. You know, when you talk about people that were once like titans that you're not starstruck by.
Yeah, they fall.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you talk about like fringe celebrities.
Yeah.
The biggest fringe celebrity we ever had in this room while the three of us were together was the comedian Gallagher.
Yes.
And if you're of a certain age, you know who Gallagher is. If you're not, Gallagher had multiple Showtime and HBO specials in the 1970s and 80s.
He had a cult following of people. He would sell out arenas.
Dude was huge. Legitimately huge. And what was it, like 10 years ago?
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
So he comes in here and he's now doing like Hotel by the Airport comedy clubs.
Yeah.
Like bad. Like places Tommy and I would be.
Yeah.
And he was, for all intents and purposes, homeless.
Yeah.
He was shopping at thrift stores to buy stuff to resell online. And he had completely lost his mind. He was
It looked like he went bad financially.
His clothes were dirty.
Yeah.
It was bad. And he was telling us stories in the commercial break about how people were after him, trying to kill him. Like, sincerely, was not making a joke. He was rambling. And, like, I was excited to for Gallagher to walk in here just because I remember watching.
It was Gallagher.
I know, he's smashing watermelons when I was a kid. Like, this is one of the biggest comedy names in the history of the game. And that dude walked
just
in.
Shell of himself.
And he was shorter than Tommy, too, which also threw me.
He was a small guy.
Yeah. But I was still, it's Gallagher, man.
For God's sakes, man.
But it's still a famous person.
No, I'm sitting here listening to that guy talk.
Why, yeah. But even so, he pissed me off. But still, it was Gallagher, man. Come on. He said some nasty things about Johnny Carson.
He did. Which, by the way, he would know more than you would.
How would he know that?
He was on Carson.
By the way, they say
he was on Carson.
They say this dump thing about every celebrity back then. How sick were people? Danny Thomas,
hey
him,
man, allow me
Hitler.
Allow me to gesture to all of everybody that has money right now.
But, I mean.
And that's only what we know of the files.
I know.
So, yeah, man, I don't know. Like, you know, when it comes to Johnny Manziel or, you know, fallen stars.
Yeah.
Like, that feeling of like, ooh, goes to, oh.
I think sometimes I'm more impressed seeing a falling star than an actual star.
You're a weird guy.
Because, like, you can see, like, you know. Reality, like this can happen. Like just because you're rich doesn't mean it's going to stick around.
Yeah, but like here's the thing about
people fall.
Here's the thing about you that's also weird. Like
what's
when
that?
Somebody gets famous and they try to live a normal life, you get all pissed off.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. Speaking of a fallen star,
it's Monday, man.
I don't even know what you said.
I caught
just a
it.
Noise.
I caught it. I didn't hit the K.
So let me back it up before we hit a dump. When somebody gets rich and famous, Tommy, and they try to live a normal everyday life, you get pissed off.
Yeah. It's not entertaining.
Okay. You want them to spend their money and do crazy stuff.
Yes. Go ahead.
But the second they spend their money, do crazy stuff, and fall, you go, oh, what idiot.
Yes.
You should have been smarter. Why'd you listen to me? All right, the idea behind this, it's musical heaven.
Oh.
Right? Like all of your favorite groups all in one place yeah. over multiple days. I mean, so much space, you can't really sell the thing out. All Everybody right. can go. And when they first started, the idea was that it was an affordable way to do this.
Yeah.
However, it gets to a certain age, I believe,
yeah.
where you just can't handle this anymore.
Well, you ain't built for it no more.
I think I might be there. And I think that the people that this festival is aimed at
yeah.
might all be there.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMS, just WCMF. Tickets for the Borderline Festival went on sale over the weekend.
This is new?
It's newer. Kimmy, are you familiar with the Borderline Festival?
I am. I don't know when it started, but I know it's happened a couple times now.
So it is a major music festival at Knox Farm State Park, which is in East Aurora, just outside of Buffalo.
Oh.
So we're talking acts like Jack White.
It's grown over the years, yeah.
Like, Kimmy, you look at the artists here. Jack White, Alabama yeah. Shakes, The Head and the Heart, St. Paul and the Broken Bones. Like, if you are a white guy with flannel shirts and a flat-brimmed cowboy hat between the ages of 30 and 50, this festival is for you.
So it's right outside of Buffalo, outdoor, woodsy.
State Park, yeah. So
camp.
There's RV camping, tent camping,
man.
All of this stuff.
Good time.
It is over 3 days in September.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you. I'm going down the list of the bands that are going to be
yeah.
there over the weekend, and I'm into most of these bands.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Are.
What does that mean?
It's your crew.
Well, yeah, that's what I just said.
That's what I'm just saying. Yeah,
I'm a white guy. I don't
know.
I don't own a flat-brimmed cowboy hat, but I have several flannels.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm looking at this. I'm like, maybe this is something that'll be fun. It'll be in September. The weather
right
won't be too
bad. Right down the road.
You got it. It's yeah. there. And the second, Kimmy, I checked up the setup, I was out.
Well, you got to either tent
it's in
or,
a field.
Or bring an RV.
Yeah.
Or well, some kind of tow behind or yeah, something. I
mean, that was the thing because my husband wanted to go to it last year. I can't remember who was playing. And he's like, we could camp. And I'm like, but like, what hotels are nearby?
Zilch.
I'm not doing any camping. I mean, on a Saturday night.
Look, it's tent or RV camping for 3 straight days. It's thousands, maybe tens of thousands of people all jammed yeah. in one spot in the middle of nowhere. It's $100 a day for general admission tickets.
Yeah. Wait, just to sit my ass in the grass?
Well, you're getting a lot of bands in a day.
Yeah. I mean, look, yeah. it's worth it music-wise compared to what you're spending to see yeah. one act at like an arena, but it's still $100 a day.
Yeah.
How do you like dump and shower?
Oh, well, like porta potties and stuff. And I mean, if you're
okay, I can't shower in a porta pot.
I don't know. I've never been to this state park before. Maybe
so you just like you just don't shower for 3 days and you go home.
No, I would assume they have facilities there if you're camping. No,
I'm not entirely sure.
Well, if you have a camper, but if I'm just tenting,
I don't know.
Ugh.
Has anybody 252 WCMF? Has anyone camped at Knox Farm State Park? Do they have shower? They must
it's
have
gotta
shower
be facilities. Grimy as hell. Man.
Well, yeah, man, you're not going. Yeah. It's not the Ritz.
No, but I wouldn't be comfortable. Are you about to sit there with a raw, dirty crotch watching, who's it, Broken Bone guy?
No, raw, dirty crotch is on the second stage on the third day.
He's great, man.
Raw, dirty crotch.
He gets a little raw the second show.
Raw, dirty crotch of the Broken Cranks. I realize as I'm looking at this, as excited as I am about all the artists, 15 years ago, I'm all in. I'm not even
Well, yeah, because you were a busted-ass kid.
Now, this is the last place on earth I want to be that week.
And your wife ain't going to this.
My wife would be more excited about this than I would.
Yeah, but she's not going to want to sit and be in grime.
She doesn't, but she thinks she does.
Yes. Yes.
My wife thinks she would love every part of this. Yeah. My wife would hate it 10 minutes in.
And I think because it's in September, it could be like a 90-degree day or like a 60-degree day.
Yeah.
And you don't know what you're going to get.
We are so old.
I know.
Kimmy, the fact that you just uttered that sentence makes me feel better about myself.
Well, it sucks because my husband wants to do all these types of festivals. And like it sounds great at first until you start like looking into like where to stay, like how long it goes for, like the travel, if it's far away. It starts to become less and less appealing to me the more I look into it.
I hate lugging.
You're not a lugger?
No. Nobody wants to lug. Like you got to bring everything in and then you got to haul it all out of there. Because you got to bring in all your own food and crap, right?
Sure, sure, yeah.
And then you got to cook it on something.
Well, no, I'm sure they'll have stuff where you can buy. You're just going to spend $72 on a sandwich.
Yeah.
252 WCMF. I guess my question becomes this.
What?
How old is now too old to brave a music festival? Because you said, Kimmy, you and your husband are not in on this now. Is it the festival part that bothers you?
Oh, he is. No, it's more the camping part.
Okay.
Because I'm fine if like the weather's mild. But like the second it rains or now I'm like gross and I just want to shower, I can't enjoy anything after that,
you know,
I'm uncomfortable.
The irony here with this festival is, you know, you get to a certain age where you just can't handle the festival anymore. The only folks that may be able to afford this stuff now are people 35 and older.
And I know people that went to this last year. They took, like, their kids and stuff. Like, they made it, like, a family event. So, yeah, I would assume it is for the, like, 30 to 50 crowd.
But I would have also thought at 30 to 50, you no longer want to do the music.
But, you know, there's always those people that do.
Are there enough?
Yeah. Obviously, there is if they booked all these fancy acts. But my biggest fear is, when I do things I don't like to do that my wife has talked me into, and then we go do it, okay. The thing I never factor in, who's next to us?
Ooh,
the who's next to us could be bad. It happened to us on vacation one time. What a disaster. And we were stuck with the same people every day, and they were gross. And I mean gross all the way around, man.
You know, as we go back to the irony of, like, the only people that can afford this are people 35 and older. You know, like we said, general
admission. You said $100 a day per person.
And that's just getting in the door. That doesn't include camping or whatever.
I mean, that's $600 for the weekend per couple.
You got it. The VIP packages are about $1,000 per person.
Well, yeah, you get really nice mud, though.
For the three-day event. But, like, even, you know, you get away from the Borderlands Festival. Again, this is relatively new. It's smaller. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You talk about the big festivals that are, like, internationally known, like Lollapalooza, Burning Man. The travel alone to get there will cost you a fortune. The tickets are 5 to 10 times what we're talking about here. How does a 26, 27-year-old afford a $700 3-day Lollapalooza ticket?
It's got to be just rich kids.
Is that all? There's that many rich kids?
Or they're just putting all their money into this and nothing else.
Is there a certain segment of, like, guys my age that go to this stuff? Because, you know, like, there's certain, like, people my age that are super musically active.
Yeah.
That I can't stomach.
All right.
That go to all this young people's stuff.
Are you guys familiar with the band Goose?
Yes.
Goose? No.
All right, Kimmy, can you explain Goose
to me?
Are we
running out of names?
Well, yeah.
Well, you know what? I always get...
Goose!
So there's a band Goose and there's a band Geese right now that's really popular. And I'm not kidding. They're two different bands.
Oh. And then there's Feathers, a very good group.
So I guess Goose...
Is Goose kind of like a jam band? I don't really know.
I'm only basing this on the guy that I know that likes
it.
So he's a Gooster.
So he's in his 50s. I've never actually heard any music from Goose. Can
I pull up
Goose?
I think about it.
Could you
really
pull it up?
It's
got to
be horrible.
All right, but no, you asked, are there older people that go
there's
to this?
There's got to be.
So Goose did something like this for their own whatever, and he went to like a 3-day event for Goose, and this guy's in his 50s.
All right.
I mean, he's a jam band guy.
I mean, there's always... We know people that are big deadheads that are my age that still go to these outdoor festivals and stuff that aren't even really dead festivals, but they seem to still go.
Yeah.
And these people are like 60 years old, man.
Yeah. I mean, look, man, I don't want to take away anybody's joy.
No,
if you're
I mean, neither,
it.
But shut up.
No, it's not even shut up.
No, shut up. No, shut up
not
in
what
a good
I'm saying.
Way.
I'm saying it's not for me, and I don't get how anybody my age, like, bro, look, man.
It's not comfortable.
If I don't sleep in my own bed, my back hurts for a week. Like, now I'm going to sleep on the ground.
Well, you know what I realized, though? Maybe I've just never been a festival person because I remember going to a festival in Atlantic City when I was like 22, maybe.
You went to Syringe Fest?
But it was like, they had brought in like, 200 different acts and stuff. And I remember only making it like one day because it was like a windy day. It was a really sandy field. And I remember like coughing up and sneezing grains of sand for days after that.
It was nasty.
Yeah.
Thinking like, I don't want to do this again. I don't want to do this another day.
Well, here's what sucks. Like, I would have no problem spending $100 to go see, like, three bands that I like, but you know how they do these festivals. The three bands I want to see are all going to be playing on different days.
Yeah.
All right, Kimmy, do we have Goose?
I'm waiting for it
here. We're waiting on Goose here. You know, it's funny. You bring up band names. I'm sorry. I'm going down the
bands
roster here.
Yeah.
Like, as you get to the bottom, you're right. I think we're out of band names. Do you want to go see Witty Tarbox?
Witty Tarbox?
Do you want to go see Uncle Ben's Remedy?
No.
Do you want to go see Clay Street Unit?
No.
How about Leftover Salmon?
One I may want to see.
They actually look just like you. They're older cats. But like we're out of band name. Leftover Salmon.
Yeah, that sounds like a dad band.
All right, we're all going to discover Goose together. This is Goose. Maybe not. I can get down on this.
Pretty funky.
Oh, look at you. You were talking so much crap. Blah, blah, blah. Oh. Yeah, okay. All right. It's got a little Steely Dan to it.
Well, it's got like a funky jazz. All right.
Do I like Goose? Am I a Goose guy?
Yeah, check it out now.
Oh my God, we just.
So what is this thing?
Goose?
No, this show. I might go now.
Should we just play this for the rest of the show?
Yeah.
I like it.
People would prefer it. That's not bad.
Now we got
I'm disappointed.
Now we got Goose fans, right? He goes, we don't have the songs to play from Goose. Shut up. I don't even like that I like Goose now. Now I like Goose. I got to be one of those people. You know, as we're talking about the music festival again, we're talking about the Borderland Music Festival. It's just outside of Buffalo. It's going to be in September. The lineup this year is really, really good. Jack White, Alabama Shakes, Head in the Heart, St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
I'm going to have to go to this, by the way.
Okay, you don't have to. Just have your husband go with his buddies.
He doesn't have any. Okay. Though. Like, he's too deep of a music fan even for his buddies, I think.
But as it comes to, like, the age you get to where you're too old for a festival. These artists are making it easier for older fans to enjoy them in one spot. For example, like Vegas residencies.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's expensive, but there's comfort to it.
Sure.
Backstreet Boys are doing a residency right now. Metallica is going to be doing a residency at the Sphere. The one thing that makes no sense to me, where they try to bring a whole bunch of fans together in one spot.
What's that?
The concert cruise.
Oh, those are huge.
Yes.
Those theme cruises?
So for those who aren't familiar, you take a genre of music. Let's go with like 80s hair.
Yeah.
You get a giant cruise ship and you load up the ship with bands for a 3-day nonstop show. You could pay extra for meet and greets and special merchandise.
Yeah.
That feels like a nightmare
to
me.
But people eat it up, man.
Isn't it usually just like one band, though?
So it's like a headlining band and then
you
have
a few more, maybe?
Yeah, like satellite bands to them.
Gotcha.
And then like a lot of the guys in the headlining band, if they have side projects, those will play also.
Yeah.
But like, here's the thing.
What's that?
Let's say I get a 1-day ticket to the Borderland Festival, right? I'm going to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see Jack White. And I get there, and an hour in, I hate it. I'm going to be out $100, but I can go home.
Yeah.
If I go on the music cruise.
Yeah.
True, you're stuck.
3 days. Yeah. You are there for 3 days.
They'll let you take one of the light boats. Oh, yeah, it'd be horrible.
You are going to enjoy that Paul Stanley acoustic set, whether you like it or not.
And you're
going
to have to watch fat guys in bathing suits get their jam on that cruise. You know those guys with the big gut?
Yep.
Just shaking it, getting into it?
Yeah.
Like, it's like Chris Christie at a Springsteen concert. It's just gross to watch, man.
He makes money as Santa Claus at the mall in the Christmas season to afford being here. All the Goose fans are showing up. Look, man, we're done with Goose, okay?
Big mistake.
Right, I'm past Goose. Now we're getting out. Now, I don't care about the jam bands. Have you heard about this band Eggy? Eggy has gotten big all of a sudden.
Eggy,
I'm sure
like
my
eggs?
Husband has.
Eggy. Bill brings it up. So I bet everyone's been talking about Eggy in my circle lately.
Okay.
I feel like.
Is that the new old man jam band?
I don't know. Where Eggy showed up somewhere. Like, they're going to be around here coming up. Are they playing?
Well, this is big jam band country.
I think they might be playing the Lilac Festival.
That makes sense.
Eggy.
Are they local?
I don't know. I've just heard multiple people say Eggy in the last 6 months.
Okay.
Because, again, like, you know, if you got a buddy that's really into music, your husband's this guy.
Yeah.
They're going to try and force that on you.
Yeah.
And I try and shut down the conversation before their phone
can
come out. No, I've gotten good at it.
Where
I can change the subject. They'll say, cause that's why I only know the names of these bands.
Yeah.
It's because they'll say the name of the band, and I know what's coming. And I'm like, hey, what's over there? And they look, and I whack their phone out of their hand. It's hard to say if this is more a statement about America or the people who live in America. Because there is no doubt we love our pets.
Yes, we do.
Study after study after study shows it. But this study is by far the most insane. If you yourself are prioritizing the health of your dog over your own health, you do realize it's just a matter of time before no one's left to care for your dog.
What?
You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5 WCMF. 3 in 10 U.S. pet owners say they spend more on their pet's health than they do their own.
Oh, really?
This according to a recent study done by U.S. News and World Report. 30% of us, whether it was on special food, pet insurance, or vet bills, say their dog costs more to keep healthy than themselves. Now, both of you guys are very big pet people.
Yeah.
And every time I bring up one of these studies where we spend money on dogs more than we do ourselves, like food or joy or hotel rooms or whatever, you tell me it's not that big a deal. Can both of you look me in the face and tell me that 3 in 10 Americans spending more money on their animals' health than their own is not insane?
I'm trying to figure out how that.
Well,
I
could see
that to be younger.
Yeah, because I could see it's way easier for me to schedule a dog's vet appointment than it is for a lot of people to find a primary care doctor.
Okay,
I mean, at my age, no, but younger.
Well, you say your age, no, because you...
No, because I got... Well, my wife and I are older, so there's health issues. But, like, younger me?
Okay.
You'd be right.
Here's what I think you're failing to understand.
I fail many things.
And I am saying that as dickish as possible.
Yeah, go ahead.
You are fortunate where you have the money to afford health care for yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What we are seeing in this study is not just that people are willing to spend more on their dog's health, is that they are making choices
to forego their own health.
Forego their own health stuff.
So I'm not going to go to the dentist because I got to take care of the
Or place. I'm not going to go get a physical or get a checkup or have something else done that I need done because my dog needs health care.
Well, just wait till that thing gets bigger on my neck. I could see people doing that.
That's not insane?
Yeah. But I could also see, like, you know, you love them.
Okay.
But do you think, like, there's also the mentality of, like, because a lot of people will push off their own health problems and like create excuses for why they don't want to go get something checked out. Like, this could just kind of be that excuse.
Okay. Do you really think that's what it is?
I hate going to the doctor, so I will come up with any excuse possible to not go.
Now, you could go my sister's route. She was cold-blooded. Because my, you know, she had three little girls, and, you know, they love pets, and they brought everything home. And she said, you see that dog? That dog's got $250. When we reach that, your dog's done. And she was serious.
Animals were put down.
Put down or turned back, sent to the kennel, to an early grave.
I mean, I know it sounds...
marched into the woods.
I know it sounds harsh. There's an argument to be made that if that's your line, you shouldn't have a pet in the first place. Keep in mind...
Well, but she had little kids, you know, so she wanted them to have it, though. But she was working
three... She wanted them to have it so she could take it away.
But she was working three jobs, awful. Right? You know, I told you when I went on the road, I got stuck with two cats with my first wife.
Mm-hmm.
And my nieces love these cats, so she took them, mm-hmm. right? So I'm on the road. I'm talking to my sister. She goes, oh, I got to tell you about the cat. And I said, what? She goes, well, I had to put it down.
No.
And I said, which one? She goes, both. I go, what do you mean? She goes, well, the one got sick, and I felt like bad for the other one wouldn't have the other cat, so I just told her.
Kill the healthy cat.
Yeah. She put both cats down. And she wasn't even, like, choked up about it or anything. I didn't even really care about the cats. And I was
don't
like,
say that!
No, but I felt bad. Okay. Like, I said, God damn, Lorraine, what are you doing, man? I mean, that's like some sick dictator crap.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like Kim Jong-un killing his uncles.
So here's the thing.
What?
The number 3 in 10 U.S. pet owners spend more on their pet's health than they do their own. That's an insane number. But it may not even be the craziest number we have in this study.
What do you got?
Because of all the people they asked in this study, the majority of them being dog owners, just over half said they spent the same on their health monthly as they do their pet, which means almost 85% of Americans are spending as much or more on their pet's health than they are their own.
God damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that would be like hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, potentially. Okay. Now, and by the way, when I say pet's health, I'm talking like, you know, better food to keep them healthy, exercise stuff, you know, checkups, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. I'm going to start with Kimmy.
Right.
All right. Kimmy, both you and your dog have a broken hand at the same time.
Okay, broken paw.
Yeah. It's something that could heal on its own for the both of you with time.
Yeah.
But it will be painful for the both of you, and it will take longer to heal for the both of you if you don't get it looked at. It's going to cost $1,000 each for treatment, but you only have $1,000.
Ooh, it's like a game show.
Who is going to see the doctor?
Well, I guess if I don't know, and I know the dog's paw is broken.
You know the dog's paw is broken, you know.
I mean, I'm going to have to go with my hand.
So you're going
to
go with you.
I need it to, like, function on a daily basis.
Probably not that much.
I mean, yeah, what do you use your hand for, really?
Really, yeah.
You just need a finger to press buttons. That's all you do with this job.
Well, I would also need my hand to help take care of the dog.
So you're going
to
let your little pooch suffer? He doesn't understand.
It's the hand that pets the dog.
He doesn't understand. He's coming up to you every day. He's got his hand in front of his head. Help me, Kimmy. Do not let me.
Well, we did take our dog to the vet twice because we thought he, like, did something to his leg, only to find out he was probably faking it.
Tommy?
Yeah.
Broken hand for you, broken hand for your dog. $1,000 each to fix it. You've only got $1,000. Who goes to see the doctor?
I'm thinking my wife would take that dog
to the doctor. You think your wife is going to side with the dog over
her
husband?
And then she would get out duct tape and fix my hand.
Yeah, but you're soft, man. Like, I could see Kimmy fighting through it. You can't fight through that. You are such a bitch.
But if the dog was whining and crying, The dog's going first.
Yeah, but you would also be whining and crying.
Yeah,
because all you do is whine and cry.
I do that. Yeah, I'm thinking that because I know like my wife at night spends more time preparing the dog's dinner than ours, and I'm not kidding you because she fusses, and if she doesn't eat it, she gets worried and she wants to change the meal plan and structure it out. So there's more prep to that than me.
Can we talk about that for a second? Quick sidebar. Because this will happen in my house as well. And my wife will be like, well, we got to cook them something or we got to change it up.
He's and got a tummy ache.
My argument is always this. Eventually, the dog will stop getting fussy when it's going to die.
They will eat.
Yes. Yeah. You can starve it out. Eventually, the dog will eat what you have.
Yeah.
And I kind of think that's the way you should do it.
No, she don't want to hear it.
No, because I take...
My wife said that's cruel.
I have the same opinion with my children.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you don't like that? We're going to leave it out. Eventually, you're going to get hungry. You're going to eat that thing.
Yeah.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. With the knowledge in this new study by U.S. News & World Report that 3 in 10 Americans spend more on their pets' health care than their own on a monthly basis, half of Americans spend as much, which means around 85% of Americans spend as much or more on their pets' health care than their own, Matthew writes us. Duffy on WCMF, easiest way to get us. He says, I spend $50 every 45 days for allergy meds for my one dog.
Wait, that's just meds.
$50. So it's about $1 a day on just allergy meds. Worst part, it's allergic to dogs. Thank you.
I do know, like, my brother, they have, like, one of them little ass dogs.
Yeah.
But they spend a fortune on. Okay. They schedule, like, they have a, this is going to sound really douchey, but he's rich. So they have another house in another state.
Yeah, that was super douchey.
Yeah. They will come back early if she has a vet appointment because they only use the vet.
They have like in their Florida. Vet.
They have their own vet.
They won't use the vet up in North Carolina. They have another house in Florida. They will drive that dog 12 hours to come home early so they can go see. My brother says her primary caregiver. I go, your dog shouldn't have two doctors, man.
What, it doesn't go to the dog oncologist?
No.
You know, like, as we look at this study and how this exists, because I'm with you. I'm just as blown away by this as you were. The only thing that can make this make sense, that you would be spending more or as much on your dog's care. So it turns out, according to this study, the bulk of the cost for pet health care comes out of nowhere most of the time.
Yeah.
The average pet owner say they take at least 2 surprise visits to the veterinarian a year, and almost 70% of the folks that said that said those visits will cost over $500 each.
And a lot of times, to Kimmy's point, it results in nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just, the dog was just reacting to something. It ain't sick.
I was going to say, it always blows my mind, too, people that shop around for their vet. Like, they'll be like, oh, we got a new vet at this place. I don't like them. Can anybody give me recommendations? And I was like, I guess I wouldn't really know the difference between a good or bad. Unless, like, they really screwed up something. What are you looking for, I guess, in your veterinarian? Well, like, where you're willing to, like, go around and experience new vets?
Well, part of it could also be what the vet tells you about how you're raising your dog. For example, if we talk about human healthcare, we all know someone who's looked for a new doctor because the doctor they have has told them.
Like feeling like shame or something?
Something they don't want to hear. Lose weight. This is why this is happening. Yes. You stop this. No, they don't want to hear that. They want a second opinion.
Maybe that's it then.
I mean, I could be wrong.
No,
I don't know.
You could be. I don't know.
So
it seems crazy to me.
You know, what sucks about that 70% of pet owners saying they get at least 2 surprise vet visits a year that cost them $500 or more, you don't really have a choice whether or not to pay when that bill comes up.
No.
Like, you have to pay.
Yes.
Unless you have pet insurance, which also comes up in this study.
All right.
Should all pet owners have pet insurance? Do either of you guys have it?
No.
No, but I guess I don't really understand what it covers.
It's a healthcare thing, right?
Well, yeah, but I also feel that same way about my own insurance. I'm not exactly sure what it covers.
But I think, like, you still have to pay, like, if you're let's say your dog needs like knee surgery or something, like, I don't think it covers like that kind of stuff, does it?
I don't know, I've never had it before, but I know people that have it. Like, does it benefit you to have pet insurance? Are there people that had massive bills that covered them? Are there people that have spent a fortune and not had to use it?
I am amazed what I've seen people spend when their dogs get cancer, because I know somebody that took their dog to Cornell.
Oh yeah, my parents did that,
and
with
it
our
was
old dog.
$10,000.
$10,000?
At one time, $10,000 you could have purchased all the dogs in the world. And that's 1972.
$10,000.
Well, it's Cornell. You're going to some high-end It's an Ivy League vet.
How much does it cost to clone your dog? I bet you it's probably around the same amount.
But then that one will cost you 10 grand.
Zach writes us on Instagram, Duffy and WCMF, easiest way to get us. We had just gotten our cat, noticed he had a broken tooth, took him to the vet, and it was $1,500 to have it pulled.
$1,500. Wait, just to pull it?
For a half a cat tooth.
Give it, what is it, anesthesia?
I hope.
No, that's the princess that went missing from the Russian royal family. I don't know, man.
It's an expense and it just works.
Stories like this make me feel like I'm not as good a dog owner as I could be.
You've never taken your dog on a trip, right?
No.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah, no, that's why we don't do it.
It's like taking your brokest friend on a trip that only makes bad decisions.
No,
that's all it is. It's like we took that dog to Florida.
Yeah.
And my wife thought it was fun. I go, it wasn't fun. You still got to do. The dog just does what the dogs do. The dog doesn't go, oh my God, I'm loving this sunshine.
And I always wonder too. Like, does the dog enjoy being away from home, or does it give it anxiety?
I think it makes it nervous.
Same.
Because it's stuck. It was in a car for 6 days.
And then now they're in this mysterious new room. They don't know anybody that's around them, right?
Like, oh, by the way, if you stay in a hotel on the way down, you got to pay for the dog. So that was another $75 a night to bring your dog to a hotel.
That's less than...
And then she whizzed in the hallway.
Well, that's why it was an extra
$75. Yeah, I get it.
Let's take one call, 252-WCMF. Again, we're talking about how 3 in 10 Americans say they spend more on their pet's health care than their own health care. Half say they spend about as much. So we're looking at about 85% of Americans who spend as much or more on their pet's health care than their own. The average pet owner says they get 2 surprise vet bills a year for at least $500. John's on CMF. Hey, Johnny, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. What's up?
So, yeah, surprise vet bill. He's not a puppy anymore. He's a year old. But when he was 5 months old, he broke his leg, and we ended up taking him to Cornell, and that cost us, somewhere in the range of about $6,000.
Oh, so when's he going to be done paying you back?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a pit bull, so he's, pretty good guard dog. So I'm not too worried about anybody, doing anything around here. But yeah, that was expensive. We had 2 choices, get his leg fixed or put him down. And when I looked at my wife, I knew that the second option wasn't an option.
But right. I think that was the only option back in the day. Like, I don't think people, like, I would say, like, in the 70s, I don't think people fixed their dogs. I think when your dog broke something, that was it.
All right, John, we're not on a show here, buddy. All right. We all tell the truth here. All right. Let's say your old lady doesn't exist. Let's say you go to Cornell, you bring the dog down there. They look at you. That'll be $6,000, or you put the dog down. What do you want to do? John, what are you doing?
Oh, that would be a tough one because he's adorable.
But?
I don't know.
We know, John. John, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. And here's the thing. I don't want to see a dog die, but I don't blame you. $6,000.
Yeah.
$6,000.
Think of all the stuff you could do with $6,000.
Like,
that doesn't involve a dog.
But I wonder, do you know that up front? Or is that like a...
Well, they tell you after? Surprise!
I don't know. Like, maybe you have an idea and then, like, you get the bill and it's more than you thought it would be and it's too late at that point. You already made the decision.
I'm sure they got to give you at least a guesstimate before they put the dog in.
I don't know.
All right. Well, let's take a break.